great family entertainment. Haven't seen it yet. Trailer looks funny. The little ones obviously should enjoy it. So that's your show for today. Coming up next, Fast Tracks. Want to remind you to listen to my good friend Daryl Wiener, Wiener's Barbecue, coming on later today. Thank you for listening to CITR FM 101.9. Robert Wallman for Reel to Reel at the Movies. Thank you for listening. Have a great, safe holiday season.
Hey, this is Jules.
And this is Kim.
And we're the Presets. You're listening to CITR on
101.9. That was smooth.
I got a car. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. I got a car. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la. I got a car. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la-la.
You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver, a show specifically designed to ensure that you make lots of money doing work you love. It's a very simple premise and one that I stand behind because I say if you're going to spend a lot of your time doing something, you better earn lots of money and enjoy it while we're at it. We have an amazing guest on today's show. I've never had a guest who covers both sides of the spectrum, and I'll explain what that means in just a second. But before I get to her and introduce her credentials and talk about all the her steps, four steps, and oh, it's just amazing, I want to mention a few things. Last week's show was an amazing show. It was called Killer Careers. How your job is killing you. In fact, jobs do kill people. And there's a personality trait which causes cancer. And I quoted a book called When the Body Says No. And I said, read it. And when you read it, you can identify whether or not you have the qualities or the characteristics of the kind of person that gets cancer. So if your career is sucking the life out of you, you have to listen to last week's show. Because I covered not only the personality traits for those who get cancer, I also talk about how you can overcome it based on the book. And he's a doctor, Gabor Mate, out of Vancouver, actually, a great guy. So check out the podcast. Go to www.citr.ca, www.citr.ca. Click on podcasts and listen to last week's show, and it's aptly entitled Killer Careers. Okay, her name is Liz Sayer, and I'm going to say this. She's an industrial organizational psychologist. In other words, she has spent almost her entire life, I think first 2 years of her life, she wasn't doing this. She spent literally almost her entire life helping people figure out who they are and how they can apply that in the market. And that's understanding you. But what's really exciting, she also helps companies hire people and good people. So she not only understands what you want, she also understands what the employer wants. So Liz, we're so happy to have you in studio.
Well, I'm pleased to be here.
Liz, first of all, right before that, let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
You were talking to me about your four steps.
Right.
And it's amazing the way you explain it to me. The first time, I've never heard it explained to me so simply. And I'm sure the audience is dying to know how you help people understand themselves.
Well, years ago, I realized that I was doing this, you know, intuitively. And then I had to start teaching other career counselors how to do it. And then I realized that my, you know, background's education as well. I wanted to teach my clients how to do it so they don't have to keep coming back to me all the time. And essentially, there are four factors you need to think about in career planning: abilities, interest, personality, and values. Because a lot of people, when they're thinking about what do I want to be, their mind's like spaghetti. They're jumping from I like this to will I like that? Can I do it? Whatever. And so this is a really simple, straightforward approach. I either do it in talking with people and ask them simply, which, you know, if your listeners want to write them down, we can do it now, mm-hmm. or I do testing. So let me start with interest. The way I understand interest, there's two parts of this. One is the task or activities. The second is the subject matter. So first of all, what do you want to do all day? Do you want to talk to people? Do you want to drive cars? Do you want to work in front of a computer? Do you want to write? That's the activity. And then what's the environment of the subject? Where do you want to do it? So if you say, for example, a client I had back in Toronto, he loves cars. I mean, he just loves cars. He's always loves cars. But we have to think, what's the activity with cars? He doesn't want to sell cars. He's got a business degree. So we started working in what does he like to do? And he's more like in marketing. So he's working towards working with one of the big car manufacturers. Similarly, I can talk about, and here's a really simple example. You like talking to people. You like selling. But maybe it's what you want to sell, real estate. You don't want to sell cars.
I really want to check and make sure that I understand this correctly. Recently, I bought a car, and I went to the salesperson, and she said, I love my job. And I'm always interested in knowing why someone loves their job. I said, well, I actually hated my job before, and I was also selling. I said, oh, that's interesting. What were you selling? And she said, men's clothing. So she discovered she hated selling men's clothing, but that she loves selling. So how does a person figure out if they don't like the industry or they don't like the skill? Like,
well,
you're in a situation, like, I hate my job. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're not aware. Is it the skill I'm not liking, or is it that I don't like selling this clothing?
Well, that's when you sit down with this four factors and try and tease out. You know, what I do with my clients is say, what do you like about your job? What don't you like? And I, in the back of my head, I have these little four buckets. And I'm trying to listen. Is it that you can't do it? You know, so we move on from interest to abilities. And let me just clarify that before I go on. Abilities is what you can do. What you do well. Maybe you're better at math than languages. You know, what did you do well in school? What do you know? What's your knowledge? Maybe you know Microsoft Word and you know gaming and you know whatever. But it's what you have to barter with. Why is an employer going to hire me? They're hiring me to do something.
So you get hired based on your abilities.
That's right.
Not on your interests, personality, or values.
Pretty much it's mostly on your abilities. What can you do for me? Now, your personality comes into play if, let's say, you're going to sales, customer service, where you're dealing with people. Then they want somebody who's energetic, outgoing, and all that. You don't usually find introverts are the best salespeople in the world, all right? So let me just clarify the abilities and interests. Sometimes, and I use myself as an example, I have a really good ability in writing. I write really well. I hate writing. So
wow, you hate writing and you're good at it?
I hate it. So when I have so many people come to me and they want to write the great Canadian novel, and I thought, oh, stick a needle in my eye. I can't even imagine. And then I love statistics. I love research. But I'm not particularly great. I keep having to hire students to do it. So, but those two areas get mixed up a lot. People say, well, if I have to be good at it in order to be hired to do it. So it may be that you get hired in one area with your abilities, but you get also to practice in another area, all right? Let me just finish the four
that's
factors,
a good one.
Okay?
This is really deep, yeah.
Yeah. So then you've got personality and values, and those factors get mixed up as well. Personality, you know, I can ask your parents, what do you like today? And they'll say, oh, he's just the way he was, you know, when he was little. And that's why we do personality tests. It's your daily work environment. Are you introverted, extroverted? Do you want to work with a lot of people, few people, fast-paced, slow-paced, small office, big office? What makes you comfortable? If you get into a job and 3 weeks into it, you hate it and it's awful, it's probably a personality issue. It's a drip of water if you get it wrong, all right? You don't like the people you're with. You're required to do things that are uncomfortable.
So if you hate your job quickly, it's usually a personality thing?
In my experience.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because you can learn, if you have stability, you can learn to do it. And if you've got a great manager, they can help you. If you're interested, but your ability is not so great, it helps you to hang in longer. But that's a short-term thing. Values, on the other hand, is a long-term thing. Those are your motivators. It's why you get up in the morning to go. It's why you might even sacrifice a dirty, hard job because it gets you your values. Maybe money is your strongest value. And in order to get the high money you want, you have to work 12 hours a day. Maybe your family is your most important thing, and you don't want to commute. You don't want to travel. So you don't take that job as traveling. I say, when people are younger, teens, early 20s, I focus more on abilities, interest, and personality. All right.
One second, I have to repeat that. So for teens, you focus on?
Abilities, interest, and personalities.
Abilities, interest, and personalities. And you don't address the?
The values as much. We talk about it, but my experience has been 16, 18, I say, what's most important to you and put them in order, you know, making money, helping the poor, travel. They say, yep, all of it. I said, no. What's number one? Oh, no, I want all of it. When somebody gets to be 40 or above, I can pretty well just do the values. They know their abilities. They know what they're interested in. They know their personality. But, you know, they've had a midlife crisis or they're not sure what's important to them, the job, they're just not happy. And then we have to determine their priorities.
So I want to address, just bring that up, for those listeners out there who are either in their, when you say teens, do you mean literally it stops at 19? Or
No.
When is it less clear values for, age-wise?
It gets, well, let's talk about the 20s, because in the 20s, it's a trying out time. And that's when you start to get your values, the priority of values sorted out. And the other thing that let me make your listeners who are late teens and early mid-20s feel better. Research shows that interests don't settle down. They don't clarify, they don't solidify until the mid to late 20s, which is a really bad situation because you've got to choose what you're going to do after high school. And so people get very upset. They say, other people seem to know, and I don't know, and I'm in this course, and I don't like it. I'm going to switch again, and my parents are on my case because they say, choose a job and stay in it. But quite often what happens and who you meet after you leave high school is probably a greater predictor of where you stay.
Now, I want to be a bit of I want to pick on you here.
Good. Be devil's advocate.
What's really interesting is I've noticed that the younger you are, and you've figured out your focus in life, the faster you are successful. It doesn't necessarily mean happy. I'm just saying you produce fast career results.
Right.
So every student has this pressure to get focus.
Right.
That's why there's this book that every student is reading right now called The Power of Focus for Graduates, for students.
Yeah.
So would you first say the faster you figure out your focus, the faster you will get your career on track?
Oh, certainly your first career on track. Don't forget that there's not one career for life. All right? That's an old philosophy when, my father was in the same job all his life. I may have been in the same somewhat career, but everything changes. So I have to tell you, in my practice, and I've been in practice for almost 30 years, I've had more accountants and lawyers in my office than I can tell you. And, you say, I spoke to a lawyer. He was sent by a psychiatrist because he was so unhappy. And I said, when did you know that law wasn't for you? He said, about the first 3 months of law school. I said, you've got to be joking. Why didn't you change? He said, I was good at debating. Mm. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to disappoint my parents. So he went through and
Good at it, but didn't like it.
No.
Okay.
No.
So what we're talking about here is, by the way, we're with Liz Sayer, and I want to say a super expert in the subject of getting you to understand what you want or who you are, finding out how to sell it, and she also understands what the employer wants. So there's so much to talk about here. We got about 2 minutes before we go to break. She's talked so far about abilities, interests, personality, and values. Listeners out there, okay, live show, give us a call. Liz has never been on the air before. I'm not sure if she's ever going to come back. This might be a one-shot deal here. If you are in a situation where you want to tap into her expertise, do it. For goodness sakes, it's your opportunity to do it. Give us a call, 604-822-8427. That's the number, 8427. 604-822-8427. I think that's the number. Anyway, give us a call. The person's listening out there and they're saying, let's pick with somebody who was maybe in their 40s. Is the person who is in their 40s have the same career confusion as someone in their 20s?
It's not the same career confusion. Because usually in your 40s, you've had enough experience. People in their 40s are easy to career counsel. 18-year-olds are the most difficult things in the world, people in the world. And the funny part is you always charge less for young people because they don't have the experience to help them make decisions. In your 40s, we can talk about the jobs you've had, what you've liked and what you haven't liked about it, the people you've worked with, the training you've had. We have some meat to work with. But if somebody's younger, it's the big wide open world and how do I pick? I used to be on about the 18th floor of a building in downtown Toronto and we'd look out the window and look at all the other buildings and the question is how do you get to a desk behind that building on the 15th floor, third door over? How do you do it? And so that's what career planning is about, starting with yourself. And I must say, I believe the person is the best expert on themselves. All right?
That's a belief that you have.
I do. My job is to facilitate their understanding, to organize their thinking in a way that bridges into the real career world.
I'm interested to know why you do this, why you like it so much.
Oh, I love it. You said talked about career things. I think that I'll die, they'll be putting me in the ground, I'll be looking up at the undertaker and say, so what do you like about your job? How'd you get into this? I just am totally fascinated by how people in work get together and when it works, when it doesn't.
Where did that come from?
I think because I'm a psychologist, I'm fascinated with individuals. I was raised in Nancy Drew mysteries. Everybody's a little mystery to me. And in grade 13, I come from Ontario, I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I I was waiting for, you know, the star in the sky or some sign. And you wait for it, and all of a sudden I said, okay, I'll be a home economics teacher. Mm-hmm. I don't know where it came from. I went to University of Guelph. I lasted 4 days in two physics labs.
And you got out of there, thank goodness.
I got out and into psychology, and the rest is history.
Well, we're happy to have you. We're here with Liz Sayers. She is an industrial organizational psychologist. More aptly, more importantly to you, she is the one, she is a guru that can help you figure out who you are and how to get what you want. So we're back with Liz in just a moment after the break. Actually, 44 seconds. During the break, it's an opportunity for you to come up with some questions. Think about whether and where you are in your life. Are you at a point where you need to understand yourself more? Or are you at a point in your life where you want to sell it to others? Or you want to understand what firms are looking for. So three stages, we'll be back in just a moment.
UBC Rec is everything that is recreation on campus. No matter how you play, UBC Rec is your resource for fun activities. This student program is operated by over 140 volunteers, and it is the largest intramural recreation organization in Canada. Programs cover fitness, instructional classes, outdoor recreation, drop-in sports, special events, small tournaments, and intramural leagues. All the registration information is available in the Student Recreation Center or online at rec.ubc.ca. UBC Rec, how do you play?
I gotta go.
We're back. You're listening to Career Fast Track, and I'm your host, Philip DeRoche, and you're listening to a show specifically designed to ensure that you make lots of money doing work you love. And we're here with an expert in the subject of helping you figure out who you are. Her name is Liz Sayer, S-A-Y-E-R, and you go by Liz, L-I-Z Sayer. And you said 30 years experience. My goodness.
Think of soothsayer.
Soothsayer. I know. She's whatever she says, you do. Yeah, I say that's it. Okay. And she's a psychology background, fascinated with the human being, fascinated about careers, not only fascinated about helping you figure out who you are, but she's also really motivated to figure out what an employer wants and having a good match. And that's what I'm hearing from her. Mm. And during the break, Liz was revealing to me some tests that you can actually take to figure out who you are and get a better understanding of who you are. I think the audience would be dying to know what those might be.
Okay. Under the areas of interest, because that's what people, when they're thinking about what do I want to be when I grow up and I don't know what I want to be, we tend to give them interest inventories. And there's any number out there. Some I like particularly. The JVIS, Jackson Vocational Interest Survey, has been around a long time. It was very well developed. It's statistically pure. I love it. And again, a word
of... What makes something pure, statistically pure?
It's the test-retest reliability, you know, and it's the validity. So something shouldn't come to market unless it's reliable and valid, but some of them do. So I'm a real pain to people, to test publishers. But here's a word of warning. People say, oh, I went to my career counselor, I took a career interest test, and it told me I should be an undertaker. Well, I want to tell you, one of the tests a few years ago, everybody came out number one in undertaker because everybody wants to work with people and make money, you know? It doesn't tell you what to do. It comes up with some ideas that you explore around that area. So it just kills me when my client said, oh, Liz told me to be, I didn't tell you anything. We're narrowing it down to 3 to 5 semi-specific areas that you go out and explore. You can go online, you can Google it, I don't know the triple W, I think it's www.jvis.com.
So that's J like jockey, V like Victor, I like island, and S like Sam.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it costs $25 to take it. It's very good. It has most of them are interest, but there are also some hidden personality features in it too. It's very, very good. The other one I like for...
By the way, is JVIS for adults or for people in their teens?
I use it for both. However, the norm sample, the people it was developed on, was about 80% university and college students.
Okay, great.
All right. But it's great because it does come up with tasks and activities. I like it because it asks, do you like to do this or this or this? Rather than the test that said, would you like to be an environmental planner? Well, you know, if you're 18, you've never met one.
Yeah.
You know, what you think an environmental planner means and what I think they do are two different things.
Yeah.
For older people, the CISS, C-I-S-S, the Campbell Interest and Skill Survey, is certainly one of the best around. David Campbell has been around for eons. He did all the old Strong Campbell and everything, and I think this is far better than the Strong. But it was developed on and for adults. You really have to get that through a career counselor, I think.
Okay, so you can't go online and just download
it? No, I haven't seen that one online.
So the two, JVIS and CISS, C-I-S-S, are two assessments, one you advise for mostly for students and the other for adults.
Adults, right. Okay. Then in the personality area, everybody's done the Myers-Briggs. And the Myers-Briggs is an interesting starting one. It's not to be used as a career choice one, no matter what anybody says. It's interesting. It's interesting to find out that your pattern of Myers-Briggs is also, a lot of engineers are in it. But your pattern, your four-letter code, your ENTJ, it could be a lot of teachers and artists as well. But it helps you, you know, introversion, extroversion. There's something called the Jackson Personality Inventory, which is also very good, the JPI. And
JPI?
Yeah.
Jackson.
Personality Inventory.
Okay.
Doug Jackson's probably the best test developer in North America, if not the world, in my view. He just died a couple of years ago. Worked out of London, University of Western Ontario. And then there's a new one that I was talking with Philip about called the 4DI. It's out of a system called the One Smart World system, and you can check it out online, www.onesmartworld.com. It's new, it's cutting edge, it's fantastic. It's a system of understanding about thinking and decision-making.
And does that help you figure out your career?
It helps you figure out more your personality and your approach to life. So, you know, it's a very simple process. You know, green for creativity, yellow for analysis and understanding, red for decision-makers. Well, the people who have strongest areas in analysis and understanding, they're the bankers. They want to deal with information all the time. Creativity people are more in the design or the startup of organization. So it's that piece of it that you're getting. But all of these are pieces of the puzzle, that it's a way of setting a framework for having you think about yourself, to sort out, as I said, the spaghetti in your brain when you're trying to figure out what you want to do. And I use it, and I find, what are the top factors? What are your strengths in terms of ability? What are your strongest interests, 4 to 5 or 6? What are your strongest personality traits? Because I like to say they stick out. We'll notice you by your facial profile. We'll probably notice you by your personality profile, too. And if you get it wrong, it's trouble.
Yeah.
And your values, what's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? And once we have all those lined up,
yes,
then you step out and you say, how do I mix and match these factors? And that's what I do with clients. But your listeners can just take that factor and say, what are my abilities? What are my interests? Strongest personality and values, and how do I work with this? How do I generate options?
Okay, so I want to make sure that the audience is getting this here. So for interest, you can do the JVIS for university students, or the CISS, C-I-S-S, for adults. That is for your abilities, your interests. Or personality, you have MBTI, the Jackson Personality Inventory, or the 4DI. What about abilities and values? Are there any assessments or ways they can do that?
The one I use, which is right here in Vancouver, which I think is fabulous, is something called the Preview. But I use it for selection. It also has abilities. Usually what will happen, if you go to a career counselor, in abilities they'll use the DAT, the Differential Aptitude Tests, or people aren't using the GATB anymore. You know, it's hard to get these ones, really.
Okay. So it's interesting. I think right now as an audience, ask yourself what your values are. I mean, it's important. So you're asking yourself what you value, and ask yourself that question, right?
Yeah.
Because you said it doesn't develop at least until 25 and beyond is typically when things start to solidify.
But your values are early. Here's an exercise that your listeners can do. Get a bunch of index cards. All right. Write down on the face of the card a value. It could be independence, travel, family, money, whatever. Flip it over and then put a definition in. What do you mean by that? Because what I mean by family and what you mean may be two different things. What I mean by independence, what you mean, two different things. Okay?
Okay.
Then shuffle them and put them down in, try and put them down in order on the table from the first to the last, number one, number two, number three. Copy down the order. Put them away for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Bring them out, shuffle them. Don't look at the order before. Do do the exercise again. And sort of like best two out of three, because people will say, oh, if I did it another day, money would be at the top. If I did it another day, friends would be at the top. But if you do best two out of three, you'll start to see what your top five values are.
Okay. So let me just repeat that. Index cards, write on one side the value, the other side the definition of the value, then sort them through most important to least, and then do it again, and do that three times, and best two out of three is what you take.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We have to take our final break here. We're down to about 5 minutes left in the show, and we'll be back with in a few moments with our wonderful guest, Liz Sayer Ford, and talking about, and when we come back, I want to talk a bit about what employers are looking for real quickly.
Yes.
What's the market?
Right.
It's hot, I know, but what are they looking for? And we'll dive into that in a sec. We'll be back in 52 seconds.
Hi, everyone. We're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy.
And we're the only food club at UBC.
We're about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
I gotta go.
You're listening to Career Fast Track on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And I'm your host, Philip Durocher, and I'm talking about subjects related to careers and, more specifically, making lots of money doing work you love. And that's the only premise of this show. Love it and make some good money, buy some nice cars, and have a great family. And by the way, career is not the most important part of your life. I had a guest on my show 3 weeks, blew my mind. His father sat him down when he was 8 years old, and he said, in life, he was an accountant. You have your assets and your liabilities. And I was like, oh, girl, where's this going? And he says, on the asset side, you have your family, your friends, and your faith. And everything else is a liability. And I said, well, what do you mean? You're discounting everything we're doing here? He says, no, just have your priorities straight. So family is so, anyway, you don't want to drive home to an empty house when you have an opportunity to do what you love and drive home to a house full of people and friends and family and laughing. Yeah? Good. We're here with Liz Sayer, wonderful guest, industrial organizational psychologist, trained up to her wazoo. She knows so much. She's 30 years experience in this. She's currently teaching at the University of at Sauder. You're teaching there now,
right?
She's a professor there and just wonderful. Okay, my commitment was getting back. She deals with companies. She helps companies hire good people. What are they looking for?
First of all, it costs a lot of money. It costs a third to three times an annual salary to replace a person, all right? So they're looking for somebody that's going to come in and stay for a longer time. And unfortunately, some people go in and say, I'll do anything to work for you. That is absolutely the wrong thing. They want to know what exactly can you do and want to do and why us. So it goes way beyond just looking up Hewlett-Packard on the Googling them. You have to think about that whole thing. And that's why this career planning says, what can I do? What do I have to offer you? Because they're going to ask you, what are you bringing to us? All right? It's not the employer's thing to say, oh, what nice job can I give you and give you some experience? It's, what are you bringing to me?
How do I know what I'm bringing if I don't know what the job is?
That's the preparation you do beforehand. You say, you've researched the company.
Yeah.
You've researched the jobs. What are the job skills? And these days, particularly, look at the language. Look at the competencies. Don't think it's cheating to repeat the competencies in your resume or in your cover letter. You've got to say the obvious. That's what I tell everybody. If there's one mantra you have, say the obvious. They cannot guess or read your mind. All right.
I love how that's like the idea of connecting the dots. If you say you're good at something, say how that can help them.
Absolutely. And how do you prove it? I've developed a whole thing on how you prove it. They say, do you, you know, you say you're good at speaking. Well, how do you know you're good? Well, you could, maybe you've got the paper credentials. You graduated in performance or whatever, or you've got an English major. Someone else says, they love to hear this, oh, everybody invites me to speak at their things because they think I'm so good. Mm-hmm. Or in my last job, that was my performance appraisal piece. And the last thing is it works. A good mechanic